Magandang umaga po.
Good morning. Morning. Let's keep your Bibles or Bible apps. May ganyan na tayo ngayon, ano? Open in the book of Philippians, firmly in chapter 2. My name is John. My mind right now is not to any offense on this gathering. My mind is firmly with my brothers and sisters at Redeemer Manila. Nag-meet sila kanina, no? I realized 4 hours delayed tayo, no? Delayed telecast. They gathered and listened to good preaching kanina from Arvin, who is our associate pastor. I am the pastor of Redeemer Christian Church Manila. We are here because of the Puritan Conference and because of, sabi nga ni Carlos, the Fellowship of the Saints. Salamat po, Crossroads, for having us today. In the sense of God's providence, the Lord had providentially led me to friendship with Pastor Alvin. This was pre-pandemic, I think, no? Around 2018, 2019. Your church, you may not know it, has been instrumental in a number of ways in shaping our church plan. Nakaupo lang kayo dito, hindi nyo alam nakatulong na pala kayo. No? Our church plant, Redeemer Christian Church Manila, is now going on 5 years. We mark our 5th year of ministry on July. And I can't name all of those things now because those were many conversations with your pastor and the help that you offered us. No? But we at Redeemer are grateful for your faithful ministry here in Dubai. And we say that from the bottom of our hearts. Thank you for being faithful, being a faithful congregation committed to gospel ministry and praying and helping other congregations, no, as well, like us. I will mention one thing, because he asked me to mention it. Because of this partnership, you guys graciously and warmly took into your care one of our members. Si Jer David, I don't know if some of you would remember him. Small guy, doctor, no? Who was here for a month last year. Thank you for taking him in, and he is now doing a fellowship in Canada, where he is really grateful for all of you who took him in while he was here. Those are just, you know, examples of how we partner, no? Our church is, Redeemer Manila is part of Acts 29 and City to City Asia Pacific, and generally the larger network of like-minded churches in the Philippines. And by sweet providence, we are partnered even with you guys here. So my wife is here. My friends are here. Thank you for welcoming us with you here today. One of the difficult things to deal with in the local church I have found, no, nagpapastor ako. I've been a pastor since 2015, leading a church. And for this church plant since 2020 in the pandemic, yung isa sa pinakamahirap is when I have to talk to people about suffering. Na kailangan kong sabihin sa kanila that this suffering is ordained by God for His people. Ulitin ko po yun, no? Suffering as ordained by God for His people. Suffering as something that is designed by God for the sanctification of His saints. Suffering as, take this in, no? Suffering as necessary for the Christian life. I have found that when I speak from the pulpit, Christians will gladly agree with me when I say this. No? And tatango kayo ngayon. But when reality hits, sa puso pala talaga natin, we strongly and even rebelliously disagree. And it's not that I don't understand why, no? Naiintindihan ko yung pushback kasi mabigat ang suffering, no? When we have to deal with the broken world and broken systems around us, broken people, sabi ni Kevin Diang, no? Sabi ni sinful people, no? Tapos haharapin niyan ng isang sinful na ako din, no? Hindi naman talaga madali yun. No? But just for the sake of proper theology, and please understand that we are not arguing, and I think we should never argue, na madali o pleasurable o yakang-yaka mo yung suffering. Kaya-kaya mo yan. No? We should never, and I think it is cruel to say that to a suffering saint. Kaya mo yan. No? It's usually the encouragement. And I think it's cruel to do that just because we understand the weight of it, not just on our hearts, no, but on our broken bodies and even our pockets. No? But as we strive to know Jesus Christ as revealed in His Word, we should continue to do the difficult task of preaching that God really does ordain suffering. He really did design these things for the sanctification of my heart, of my mind, no, of my life. And that it is necessary for me as I endure the life that God has for me. And because of this pushback, this normal and dare I say usual pushback against suffering, we must now recognize the role of the church to necessarily, constantly remind those in our care. Kasi nga, hindi natural sa atin natanggapin ito. No? This is a truth, but we would rather not have it. No? I would even dare say that some Christians are, how do I say this? Functional prosperity theology believers. Ano ibig kong sabihin sa functional prosperity theology believers? Dahil madalas, mas pipiliin natin na hindi tanggapin o paniwalaan yung katotohanan that God would bring suffering into my life intentionally, that He would ordain it for me. I don't want to believe that. No. So, looking into this passage, we are in Philippians 2. It should be our prayer that God would sanctify our hearts. So that the main argument for this one, I think you can show it on screen, no? Our main argument for today would be that Jesus, as God-man, poured Himself out on the cross, not seeking His advantage, humbling Himself unto death for the glory of God. Where does that leave us? We are called to have this same mindset in our lives, in our community, and in our endurance until Christ returns. So, nothing to do now but just to dig into this passage. No, the outline for today, I will start in verse 6 to 8, talking about the humiliation of Jesus. That moves into 9 to 11 of chapter 2 for the exaltation of Jesus. And then I will circle back to verse 5. No, that's a weird thing to do, but I just need to circle back to verse 5 for our ethical and community applications. No? Okay. So we start with verse 6 to 8. Who, that's Jesus, though He was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied Himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. Being found in human form, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. So we start with Paul's argument to the Philippian church in verse 6, but it bears remembering, mga kapatid, no, beloved, remember the time, the place, the situation, why this letter was written. No? It was written by Paul from prison to a suffering beloved church. He loved this church, but he knew it had problems, no? It was a suffering church. It had concerns on the inside, on the outside, from the outside. In this sense, kaya ninyong makarelate with the church at Philippi, no? Because your church and my church might be similar situationally. Bakit? Do we have problems inside the church? The answer is, ay wala, nice. Okay pala dito na lang ako. Do we have problems inside the church? Yes. Do we have problems from outside of the church? Yes. Particularly, Paul was calling the Philippians at the beginning of chapter 2. Sabi niya at the beginning of chapter 2, to complete my joy. No? Complete my joy. The implication of being, there was something that needed to be completed. There was something lacking. No? Complete my joy. And we know contextually that Paul loved this church. I love you with the love of the Lord. No? And he was also continually encouraging them to a strong imperative in chapter 1:27, and sabi niya, let the manner of your life be worthy of the gospel. And with that standard, ang buhay na ini-encourage niya is a life worthy of the gospel. Tama lang na i-exhort niya yung church to be in verse 2 of chapter 2, be in full accord and of one mind. Sa Tagalog, magkasundo at magkaisa kayo sa isip at layunin. And in verse 3, he's asking them to do nothing out of selfish ambition, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Huwag maging makasarili, magpakumbaba, at ituring ang iba na mas magaling sa'yo. So that really is the kicker, right? No? Alam ni Pablo na may suffering na nga from outside and the inside, no? Tapos hindi pa kayo magkasundo. In Paul's thinking, kulang talaga sa kanila yung pagpapakumbaba. Hindi lang na ituring yung sarili mo na mababa, but actually i-extend mo yon, no? Na ituring ang iba na mas magaling at mas mabuti sa iyo. Ang hirap noon. No? For people who are naturally selfish like me, we people will always find it difficult to look at others as better than ourselves. I mean, kung susumahin pa nga, no? Ang mantra naman talaga natin sa buhay, pag may nakita kang magaling, no? Pag may nakita kang magaling sa utak mo, automatic, kaya ko din yun. Di ba? Nothing special, kaya ko din yun. And so here in our section, Paul is talking against that kind of attitude. Paul begins to show them how it is to live humble lives according to the standard of the gospel. No? To look not to yourself as great, no? But to look to Christ. And so we begin in verse 6. He begins his argument for humility with the presuppositional statement, though he was in the form of God. What does Paul mean here? No? He was saying that Jesus was pre-existent as God the Son. Sinabi natin yan kanina, very, 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 very nice touch on the Nicene Creed because that's all that we need, no? That's all the reminder we need. Jesus was pre-existent as God the Son, the second person of the Trinity. The foundational truth sets up, no? Yung foundational truth na yon sets up the weight of the next verses. Because, sino tong Jesus who emptied himself? Who is this Jesus who took the form of a servant? Who took on the likeness of humanity? Makikita natin dito yung orthodox na katuroan ng early church. Not just Paul, no? Because when Paul was saying this, he was calling this church to be reminded and remember what has been taught them. This has always been the teaching of the early church, that in light of Jesus' resurrection and ascension, the church knew that the Jesus who rose from the grave and ascended into heaven, he must not be ordinary. He is in the form God. He is the second person of the Trinity. That he had prior existence. That this form, he was in the form God way before we existed. He was already God. No? That he had in his character everything essential to being God. That's why you appreciate the NIV here, no? When ang rendering ng NIV dito is, in very nature, God. Because that's the argument that Paul was using, no? And that is the foundation, no? Yan yung foundational argument kung paano nyo maiintindihan ngayon yung kasunod. Why it is that form of humility that Paul was pointing his brothers to, no? Brothers and sisters, it is this weighty reality, no, that gives strength to the argument for humility about Jesus. That he was God from the beginning. And that he had every right to all authority and power. He was in the form God, the very nature God. But Paul now continues. Jesus did not consider his equality with God as something to be grasped. No? We are not to look at this phrase as meaning or even implying that Jesus did not have equality with God and then grasp it like it was something that he did not have. No, hindi ganun yung pagkakaintindi dapat natin doon. Kasi kung ganun yun, that would void the foundational statement that he was in the very form God before everything. So nasa kanya na yun, no? What Paul wanted to communicate here is that Jesus already had all the advantages he needed. He was in the form God. He had all the authority from the beginning. He was God from the beginning. But Jesus did not grasp this equality with God as an advantage. He had all the opportunity, all the authority, and every right to do so, but he did not. This is what it means now. I mean, make the connection, brothers and sisters. No? This is what it means now for Jesus to be in the very nature God. In a sense, pinapakilala talaga sa atin ni Pablo, si Kristo, yung form ni God. No? As it were. Kung sino ba siya bilang Diyos, kung ano bang klaseng Diyos siya, kung ano ang kalidad at ugali ng Diyos. So, like when you look at people and you remember them, kapag tinanong mo, kilala mo ba si ganito? Naalala mo ba si ganito? No? Ano yung isa sa mga unang naaalala mo sa kanya kung medyo lengthy yung interaction mo? Naaalala mo ugali? No? Naaalala mo ba si ganito? Ah, siya yung ganito, no? Siya yung ayaw sa okra. No? No, parang, katulad ko, ayaw sa okra. No, parang, no condemnation. So, all of you okra people. Natatandaan mo yung ugali niya, no? Nakikita naman yung tao sa ugali, tama po ba, no? Nakita mo yung ugali niya around people, how he interacts. Siya yung medyo introverted na nasa kanto lang, no? Ayaw makipag-usap. You remember that person by the nature of him being him or her being her, yung ugali niya. Anong ginagawa ni Pablo dito? Sinasabi ni Pablo that this is the form of God. Tandaan ninyo yung ugali ng Diyos nyo. This is what he is like. Not that he was grasping for something that wasn't his. It was the equality with God was always his to begin with. But he did not press his rights to make it an advantage. That's who your God is basically what Paul is saying here. That's who your Jesus is. He had all the advantages in the world. But he did not shove it in the faces of people. No. He would not. No. This is the same God, the same Jesus that they have known through the gospel, the God who would give his extravagant love even at the cost of suffering and being humiliated. He would not. And he did not claim his advantage, but gave everything to obey the Father. Isa sa mga paboritong arguments po ni Pablo, no, in his other letters was the contrast between Adam and Christ. No? Federal headship is what you would call it, technically. No? Adam as the representative of sinful humanity and Christ as the representative of those redeemed and forgiven by God. You would remember in the garden what Adam did. No? Adam, who was made in the image of God and so like God, he rebelled against God and wanted to be like God. He considered his equality with God as something to be seized and grasped. And grasp he did. Something that wasn't fully his, but he wanted it. And so, when Eve took the apple and ate it and gave it to him, he said, okay, that must be nice. And ate of it as well. But Jesus Christ, stark contrast to Adam, did not even consider grasping at what was already his. No? What was already his, he did the exact opposite. Adam tried to become like God but failed and plunged us into sin. Christ, who was already God in full form and substance, became man, saved us from our sin. What a beautiful and weighty contrast. No? So in this presuppositional argument in verse 6, Paul was setting us up for verse 7. No? That instead of grasping this equality with God, he did not grasp, Jesus rather emptied himself. Jesus emptied himself. He emptied himself of what? No? Parang, he emptied himself. Nang ano? No? Nagbuhos ka, anong binuhos mo? No. The argument is not like that. No, the language is not like that. The simplicity of the argument is he just emptied himself. Meaning, ibinuhos niya yung sarili niya hanggang wala ng laman. No? Alam niyo yung termino na ubus na ubus na ako. By meaning, wala nang laman yung wallet mo. Probably, ganun yung ibig sabihin. No? Pero yung ubos na ako, there is a namalalim na hugot dyan kapag sinabihan ka ng asawa mo na, John, ubos na ako. I mean, hey. Parang, what's happening here? No? Parang, ibig sabihin, no? There's nothing left to give. Yun, ganun yung language dito, no? That ibinuhos niya yung sarili niya hanggang wala ng laman. That's the complete metaphor. And it is weighty in its simplicity. Inubos niya ang sarili niya para sa atin. No? And how did he do this? He emptied himself by becoming a servant. Paul is pointing us to the humiliation of Christ in his becoming human, in his becoming flesh, in his being incarnated. Nung pinanganak si Kristo, that was always the trajectory. From his birth, in his life, eventually leading to his death on the cross, the trajectory has always been humiliation, humbling, ang magpakumbaba, at ang magpakababa hanggang maubos siya para sa atin. Mga kapatid, there was humiliation in all the stages of the life of Jesus. There was humiliation in his birth. Jesus took the form of humanity to bear the punishment that God had for sinners. Hindi naman siya obligado to do that. No? And that was evident in the prayer at Gethsemane. No? Hindi siya obligado to do that. He was God the Son. That was an advantage. He could say no to that. But he did not, no? Yung prayer na, Father, if you could take this cup from me. Remember that is speaking of some advantage. That he could actually talk to the Father and say, if you could take this cup from me, would you please? No? Hindi siya obligado na iligtas tayo. Alam natin yan. Pero nagkatawang tao ang Diyos Anak, born as a baby in very poor circumstances. Anong date ngayon? January 17? Yeah? 19. As Filipinos in the PH, no, we can still smell, no, vestiges of the Christmas season. Yung iba hindi pa nagtatanggal ng Christmas tree, no? Yung iba may malamang may mga spaghetti pa yan sa rep nila, no? So I call you back to that because for Filipinos, no, for Filipinos, it doesn't take a lot to remember the story of how God the Son took the form of a babe. No? Born in a manger because no one would take them in. You all know that story. That is something common to us. We extend it, no, to even to February. No? There was humiliation in his birth. There was humiliation in his life. No? As he did his earthly ministry, Jesus suffered humiliation for us. Sabi ni Herman Vitsius, isang Puritan. So, galing tayo sa Max. Okay. He was a Dutch Puritan. And he said, na kung ang naaalala lang natin about the humiliation of Christ ay yung death on the cross, then we make too little of his sufferings for us. Why? Because there are other humiliations in his life. Christ suffered and obeyed the law because we cannot. Sinunod ni Kristo ang batas ng Diyos at siya rin yung dumanas ng paghihirap bilang kabayaran ng ating kawalan ng kakayanan na sumunod. Jesus as God-man suffered the indignities of having to live and be limited in human flesh. Yung pagkagutom, yung pagkapagod, yung antok. No? I realized first time ko sa Dubai, ngayon ko lang naramdaman na yung katawan ko yung nag-i-impose ng antok sa akin. No? Okay naman ako sa puyatan, okay ako doon. Pero dito, yung adjustment sa antok ibang klase, no? Parang tapos kapag naka-adjust ka na, bukas uuwi na ako. No? Diba? That's me adjusting to 4 hours. No? 4 hours difference. Imagine the infinite God who suddenly had to deal with gutom, no? Antok, pagod, kasi yung human body niya had limits. That was humiliation for an infinite God. Yung ma-experience niya yung kalungkutan ng mamatayan ng mahal sa buhay. No? Yung ma-experience niya yung betrayal. How betrayal is the ugliest thing known to man. No? He experienced being abandoned by friends. No? He experienced being misunderstood. Alam niyo yan, no? Kapag na-misunderstand kayo, parang gusto niyong manapak, eh, no? Hindi yan yung sinabi ko. No? He experienced being accused of something na hindi niya ginawa. All of these things he suffered. Gave him humiliation almost every moment of his life. And there was the final and ultimate humiliation in his death. As a human being, he became obedient even to the worst kind of death known to their culture at that time. Cursed is a man who dies on a tree. Death on a cross. Mga kapatid, ito yung pagpapakilala ni Pablo kay Kristo. No? And it would be good that we take note because he encourages the Philippians to take the same mindset. What was the mindset of Jesus Christ? That he was showing himself and his equality with God, no? This is my equality with God, that the specific way that God would choose to do things, not to grasp at self-advantage, but to show mercy and grace to the unworthy. No? Not to grasp at self-ambition, but to show mercy and grace in self-sacrifice. This
was their God.
This is Paul saying to the Philippians, look at your Jesus. Then look at your church. It's basically, this is me moving forward to the applications later pa yan. But this is your God, Philippi, that he would choose the ugly and cruel death on a cross rather than press the advantage that was already rightfully his. And he would do this, brothers and sisters, for the sake of his people. Note this mindset. This was the mindset of God that Paul was making an example for the Philippians, Christ in his humiliation. But the argument does not stop with humiliation. Huh? So we move forward to verses 9 to 11. So the therefore there, no, is because of the humiliation. Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. Naipakita na ni Pablo yung intentionality ni Jesus to empty himself and be obedient to death by crucifixion. That this is the truest evidence of equality with God. Because Jesus showed that this is exactly what God would do in that situation. And being God-man, he did exactly that. To not grasp, but to sacrifice. But Paul's issue and point in this passage for the Philippians was not yet complete. No? Hindi pa tapos. It needed to go through the Father's eventual exaltation of the Son. So that point can be completed. No? Because it proved that the sacrifice of the Son on the cross was right and correct in all respects. No? And that he wanted the Philippian church to understand that it was just right for them to look at Jesus' example and live a humble and sacrificial life, obedient to whatever suffering God had ordained in his life. Because of this, because of 9 to 11. In this section, Paul would encourage the Philippians to look at the eschatological reality of justification and vindication for those who are in Christ. And para sa isang local church, no? Para sa isang local church like Philippi, who were mabigat ang pinagdadaanan, maraming mga, tawag ni Pablo, dogs, no? Who were barking at them and teaching them wrong things, for the confusion and the tension and the chaos that was being caused from inside and outside, this is the encouragement and the assurance. Si Kristo ang naghahari. At ang mga Kristiyano ay inangkin na ni Kristo, not just in the future, not yet, pero inangkin na niya kayo here in the now. No? So verse 9, shows us that God has highly exalted Jesus, meaning that God had elevated Jesus to the highest possible position. And that he has given him the name that is above every name. What does that mean? No? Paul is borrowing here probably from the Old Testament in the language of Isaiah 45, in verse 23, where Yahweh declares, no? It is Yahweh himself declaring, to me, Yahweh, Lord, every knee will bow and every tongue will swear allegiance. No? If you look at your Bible in Isaiah 45:23, the name there of Lord is in capital letters. L-O-R-D. No? What does that mean when you see that in your Old Testament? No? It means Yahweh himself. No? That every knee will bow to me, no? To Yahweh, who is Lord, L-O-R-D, every knee will bow and every tongue will swear allegiance. And it is the strongest argument for what Paul is saying here, no? Anong sinasabi niya? That name, no? Yahweh, L-O-R-D, Yahweh, in all caps, as it were, has been given to Jesus. So Jesus, Yahweh, that's one and the same. That name has been given to Jesus. A name under which everyone must submit and ascribe authority to. Jesus has been given that name. So what happens when God exalts Jesus? So the next two clauses are taken also from Isaiah 45, the passage that we look back to. No? Nandyan yung verb na shall or should. No? That every knee shall bow, should bow. And in these statements, Paul is pointing us to a future event. No? Pointing the Philippians to the eschatological return of Jesus Christ, where all creation would then acknowledge Jesus as Lord, capital Lord, whether they want to or not. Every knee shall bow. If you cross-reference Isaiah 45, now looking at the Isaiah text and this, Paul is showing us that this right to all authority has been given to Jesus. You will hear whispers of Matthew 28. No? Ang sinasabi sa Matthew 28 na all authority in heaven, on earth, and under the earth has been given to me. No? Because Yahweh says in Isaiah, to me every knee shall bow. And Paul says that the same exaltation would be given to Jesus when he returns. When Jesus returns, all knees will bow. Notice mga kapatid na walang usapan dito na ang magbibigay lang ng pagsamba kay Kristo ay ang mga iniligtas. No? Walang ganung usapan. Wala pong ganyan. Ang sinasabi ni Pablo dito is that all will bow down to Jesus, even the ones that would not want to. No? Even the ones who will not submit to His authority, who will intentionally say, no, I don't want to bow, they have no choice. It doesn't matter. If you have knees, it bows. No? It bends. No? To the authority of Jesus Christ. They will all bow their knees and give authority to Jesus. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue will confess. Not only will all creation bow down, what would also come from them is the verbal declaration of the one true thing. And this is notable, mga kapatid. No? At the time of the church in Philippi, and I would propose also now, even in our time as well, sino lang yung nag-declare? Sino lang yung nagko-confess? I would suggest to you, thinking about this, that it is only the suffering and enduring church of God that is declaring this truth. Only the local churches, only the Christian churches are confessing this truth. No? So church membership namin, I was happy to see what was being discussed kanina sa membership class ninyo. Sa church membership namin, the minimum requirement is to believe in the same gospel and to declare Jesus as Lord over your life and everything in it. No? Yun yung membership covenant namin. So that the church members, we are one and the same in our declaration. Kapag binasa yung gospel, kapag dineclare yung gospel, we all members can say, yes, that's what we believe in. No? But there will come a time at the return of the King when it will not be just our church members. When it will be the whole cosmos, uniform and complete in this declaration, all would declare Jesus Christ is Lord. At the end of all things, all of creation will behold Jesus and declare what only the Christians know now and declare. They will have no choice. They will have to look at Jesus and declare and believe and worship. They will declare with one voice, Jesus is Kyrios. This Jesus who was crucified, who died, who rose again is Lord. In whom the Christians believe and used to declare, but now everything declares. They have no choice. Why? Because it is plain truth. No? everybody would now see the truth of what Peter, no, was declaring and imploring to the Jews in Acts 2:36, no, so that they would be saved. Sabi niya, God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. Again, brothers and sisters, note that this end time confession will not be because of salvation. Hindi lang ang mga saved ang magde-declare nito. It would be the whole cosmos just stating a fact in its final and irrevocable agreement, whether they want to or not, that Jesus is Lord over everything. And finally, in closing to verse 11, Paul acknowledges, no, that his monotheism as a Jew was never in danger with Christianity. No? An argument na iniisip pa rin ng mga Hudyo ngayon, no? Or even the atheists and the Gnostics would say, ano ba talaga yan, tatlo o isa? Sabi nyo, tatlo. Oo. Pero sabi nyo din, isa. Oo din. To that effect, Paul is saying that all Christians should still consider themselves as monotheists to the core. We have one God over all. He ends the statement that all this worship and acknowledgement of Jesus at the end of time is to the glory of God the Father. That this is the same language that we hear Paul remind the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 8:6. That there is one God, the Father, from whom are all things and for whom we exist, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we exist. Right? Worshipping Jesus at the end is worshipping God. The glory of Jesus is the glory of God, and you have heard this in the conference over and over, repeated to you. The glory of Jesus is the glory of God. No? The worship of Jesus is to the glory of the same God the Father. And we will either take pleasure in this or we will be compelled to do this. At the final exaltation, Jesus is Lord. Yun yung trajectory, no? Paul was showing the Philippians humiliation and then exaltation. Why is this important? Mga kapatid, you circle back to verse 5. Paul was saying and thinking, no, kung bakit niya ipinakita sa Philippians ang malalim at mabibigat na katotohanan ng ito. And yes, he was thinking specifically of them, no? When he said, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ. He was thinking of the Philippians as a church when he said, among yourselves. No? This is Philippi as a church. And he was thinking specifically of Philippian believers when he said, those who are in Christ Jesus. So dito ko gustong hugutin, mga kapatid, yung reminders para sa atin. And I have three. Because sabi nga ni Kevin DeYoung, it's just natural. No? People need a roadmap. So, hindi ko ibig sabihin na tatlo lang yung makukuha nyo dito. I just mean that, look at how it progresses. Firstly, Paul was talking to the Philippians and talking to them about have this mind among yourselves. And yet we know contextually that there were already hints of disunity and disagreement among them, hints of selfishness in the community. Especially evidence, if you read forward in chapter 4, magne-name drop yan ng dalawang babae sa pangalan. No? Si Euodia and si Syntyche na because of their arguments, ay hanggang ngayon, kilala nyo pa rin sila. No? Na-name drop. They were encouraged to agree in the Lord. So, my first point is this, and I hope it's being shown there. Beholding Christ in His humiliation gives us no reason for pride in our relations within the local church. Gusto ko sanang sabihin na, yan guys, madali lang yan. No? But we all know I would lie. No? From local church experience, we remember, no doubt, that this is still a struggle. No? Kahit ayaw nating aminin, pride is still a thing in the local church. Yes, it is something to be stamped on and killed, but it's still alive. Parang ipis na ayaw mamatay, no? You guys here in Crossroads would be more familiar of how that looks like here. You don't like it, but you know it's there. It is stingingly clear to me in our church kung paano nagpapakita yung pride. It is stingingly clear to me in myself kung paano nagpapakita yung pride sa buhay ko. No? Malinaw po dito, no? We have to be aware of our sin, our depravity, specifically our pride, that it contributes to a lot of relational issues within the church. Paano natin nasasabi to, no? We are unable to think of others as better than ourselves. Hirap tayo doon, no? So deeply rooted is pride in our hearts, no? That when we have relational issues in the church at pinag-restore na yung relationship nyo, pag pinag-uusap na kayo, kapag may nagmi-mediate na elders sa inyo, no? The knee-jerk reaction response is usually, kasalanan naman niya yun. Eh. No? Kapag tinanong ko, ano nangyari dito? Hindi ako yan. Siya yan. No? It can't be me. Why would it be me? Me? Look at this. No? Ako pa ba? There it is. No? Pag once pumasok na yung sa utak niya, ako pa ba? Mas magaling ako sa kanya. Siya di niya kayang i-control yun, ako kaya ko. There it is. Pride. We are so quick to grasp at our advantage, how we are better than others, how we are more mature than others. When in fact, it is the apostle that will show us, no, that if we are Christ-like, we will not grasp. If we are Christ-like, we will not grasp at our advantage. And we would be obedient to the correction from God's word and the church. And when it says, look at that, look at the word, and look at your life, and you will realize, yep, that's true. I am not aligned to God's word. That was me. I was wrong. No? And yet, hirap gawin yun, no? Have this mind among yourselves is a strong and sober reminder that being full of ourselves is not the example that Christ set for us. It is the opposite. No? And that grasping, or sa utak ninyo, oy di hamak, mas mabait ako sa kanya. Grasping does not bring your church community towards Christ-likeness, but pride that would fester, no, inside the community and would hurt people. This is why the intention of Paul to correct the two women in Philippians 4 was so strong and clear. Because, listen, no? Having a prolonged disagreement in the church community does not commend Christ. If you're not talking to someone because of a disagreement para sa akin, sige, depende na sa sitwasyon, no? Pero para sa akin, kapag tatlong buwan mo nang hindi nakakausap yan, may something wrong na tayo. No? Why would it take 3 months? No, parang this yung pag malamang, no? Parang I'm thinking, sabi ni Pablo, nung nandyan ako, hindi na kayo magkasundo. Hanggang ngayon, nasa kulungan ako, hindi pa rin kayo magkasundo. No? So for a pastor, that's kind of, parang, one of the things that I've always, no, parang have difficulty in doing is kind of mediating between brothers and sisters in Christ. Because the pride is showing. And nobody would say it's my fault. No. Paul is saying clearly, no? Walang kalabuan. Humility is Christ's way. This is your God. Therefore, it should be our way as a Christian community, as a local church. Sana hindi po malabo sa atin to. I will move on because I will say too much about it. Secondly, we as Christians need to enter into the mindset, have this mindset among you, the mindset of suffering. Knowing that this is how Christ has set His example for us. So that, may sinasabi si Pablo sa chapter 3, it's a beautiful chapter as well, in chapter 3, verse 10, sabi niya, that I may know Christ and the power of His resurrection, and that I may share in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death. That doesn't have to be a vague notion for Christians. That doesn't have to be, paano yan, paano yan? No? Anong ibig sabihin yan? That doesn't have to be vague for us. No? So, the point is, Christ's humiliation, point number two, Christ's humiliation shows us the necessity of suffering as we Christians endure to the end. No. As we endure to the end, it is necessary for Christians to suffer. Okay, say it. Come on, parang hirap sabihin. Pero, say it, let it flow through your body like that. No? I mentioned earlier that refusing to believe that God can ordain, no, and that He will ordain suffering in our lives makes us functional prosperity theology believers. No, sa discussion natin, we should now clearly see that Philippians 2 is one of your, if you're a Christian, this is one of your clearest and strongest arguments against prosperity theology. The goal for Christianity, whether in first century Macedonia or 2025 Dubai, the goal for Christianity has never been to be financially ahead in society. It has never been that. The Bible will not tell you to be financially ahead. That's the goal. It's not the goal. Prosperity theology is giving us wrong and twisted indicators of Christ-likeness. So if Philippians 2 is true, no? Prosperity theology, ang sinasabi niya, no? Sinasabi nila, material blessedness, full-on physical health, financial breakthrough, career success, influence in the world and society, these are the signs of blessedness and that you are close kayo ni God. No? In full contrast, Jesus, to show God and His character to us, refused to grasp at His own advantage and became obedient even to death on the cross. Anong kalokohan ngayon yung sinasabi nila? No? Anong kalokohan yung sinasabi nila sa atin that we should be rich? If you're a Christian, you should be rich. Where is that? No? You can Christian, you can put prosperity, find whatever prosperity theology you have in your social media feeds and you will find a lot. Tapos itabi nyo siya sa Philippians 2. And see how strange it would be to call anything prosperity theology as Christian. And yet you hear it from the mouth of pastors. Sorry, I did air quotes, whoever recording this. I did air quotes just there. No, brothers and sisters. Prosperity theology is not orthodox. It is evil and it is not like Christ at all. It is not biblical Christian belief, no matter how much these men try to convince you that it is. It doesn't mirror or reflect the glory of God or the glory of Christ in His humiliation. Not even a bit. And so it doesn't show the patience and endurance of Christians in our final vindication. Not even a bit. It wants it now. It wants you to get paid now. And it's not here. Ano yun? Sabi na, by His wounds you are rich. That's not what you read in Isaiah 53? No? Please turn away from prosperity theology in your church, from your lives, dahil clearly hindi yan Christian. My fear as a pastor is this. You are in a healthy church, and I praise God for that. No? You are in a biblically healthy church. I love your liturgy. It is quite the same with us. No? Sa liturgy namin. The gospel is preached. It is rehearsed. And there will be some of us, no? Even in this kind of community, there will be some of us who will not be able to quite accept that God would ordain suffering in my life. Now, madali sa atin na mag-post against prosperity theology. They are easy targets. No? Yan, prosperity yan. No? But functionally, we might be believing in the same lie. Kapag sinabi namin na, God will not give me suffering. Because, why? Because I try to obey as much as I can. I go to church regularly. I give to church. I go to conferences. I buy books. Listen to what the Word is teaching you, brothers and sisters. That is a lie. If anything, Christianity, the Christianity, the biblical Christianity that you believe in, will drag you into what God ordains, whether good or bad. And then it will sanctify you. And then at the end, it will glorify. Suffering is something that God ordains for His people. And I need to swallow that and digest that. Suffering is something designed by God for the sanctification of His people. And I need to swallow that and digest it. And therefore, suffering is necessary for me. The blessing in suffering is this. As one John Piper would say, somewhere out there. Suffering is not in vain. Suffering is doing something in you. It's doing something in you. Suffering is never in vain for a Christian. As we look at Philippians 2, we look at Jesus, the God-man who suffered humiliation in His life, and in the end was exalted by God. Brothers and sisters, this brokenness, this pain, this hurt, this every day you wake up and there's something new wrong with your body. No? This aching, no? It is not ultimate. It has an end point. And the end point is final sanctification and glory. And for most of us who had been to the conference, now that's quite easy and still quite fresh to remember. And this should lead us to our last point, naturally. The last point is this, that the final eschatological exaltation of Christ is also the final hope and vindication for Christians who must endure brokenness and suffering in this life. There is a goal, Christian. Brothers and sisters, there is an end point. Pain and suffering must not render us hopeless because our hope never was here and now. No? Our hope, our ultimate hope is in the not yet. It's in the what is coming. The Philippians 2 Christ hymn shows us the natural trajectory for those who love Christ and endure in this life within the local church. We suffer now, glory later. Hear me out. No? So we should not be surprised when suffering, mga kapatid, you should not be surprised when suffering shows up in your church. Pain shows up in your church. Hurt will show up within our churches. That is the trajectory. That is the ordained design. And actually, we will say now from this study, that is necessary. And no, We do not believe in poverty theology. No? We are not saying na for a Christian to be, for a person to be Christian, they need to be in constant suffering. Wala tayong sinasabing ganun. No? There is a strain of the old heresy of asceticism in poverty theology na kung nag-e-enjoy ka sa mundong ito, baka hindi ka Kristiyano. No? That's wrong, brother. So eat your ice cream. It's okay. Don't eat too much because your bodies are broken. Enjoy the small victories that God gives us when it is given to us. Poverty theology is not what the church believes. I cannot go into more than that, but just mentioning it, we do not believe in poverty theology as well. But what I am saying is this, the stronger tendency for the Christian is despair. No? When suffering shows up, as a church, we do not give in to despair because we look to the truth that the natural trajectory of Christ in Philippians 2, humiliation, then exaltation, is also my natural trajectory. No? The Bible literally screams this at us. We suffer for a while this light and momentary affliction so that it can produce for us an eternal weight of glory. Brothers and sisters, this is why the local church has the necessary task of equipping and discipling each other. I will point out to you who are pastors here, to you who are elders here, brother pastors, equip your congregation for the suffering that will be sure to arrive. And then naturally point them to the vindication that is inevitable when Jesus returns. Brother pastors, please do not point them to any other hope than the return of Christ. Because any other hope other than that will not satisfy. It will be temporary. It will be taken away from you. Christ will be eternal. And therefore, your treasure is there. Brothers and sisters sa congregation, kayo mga nasa congregation, let us learn how to biblically encourage and disciple one another in light of this natural trajectory. If this is true, if Philippians 2 is true, then we should equip each other to expect suffering from the brokenness and sin around us. Expect it. Brother, dadating yan, but we will be with you. We will walk with you. It will come in different forms and in different seasons in our life. But in every season, we walk and endure together. We preach to each other the gospel. Our thankfulness for the grace and salvation, our encouragement that the Holy Spirit is with us daily, and our joy that we are able to gather on a week-to-week basis. Rinse, repeat, every Sunday until Jesus returns. And when Jesus returns, He will set all things right. He will defeat the final enemy, and we will live with Him eternally. No more pain. No more fighting sin. Just the joy of constantly being in His presence. I pray, brothers and sisters, that this would encourage you to endure until Christ returns. That is the final encouragement in this message. Crossroads, to the saints here, endure until Christ returns or until God calls you home. To Him be the glory in the preaching of His word and in the church for now and for all ages to come. Amen.